Hello and welcome to an episode of the Irish Photography Podcast. And today we are on tour. We're over in England and we are in Birmingham for the photography show. So sit back and enjoy the episode where we're going to hopefully meet with a lot of people and give you a flavour of what is the photography show itself.
I don't know who you are, but welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Sit back, relax, and listen to three guys talk about cameras, gear, settings, stories, and all things photography. Join Dermot, Darren, and John on Ireland's Best Photography Podcast. Let's go.
All right, so we have our first special guest on the episode today, guys. Like I said, we're in the Birmingham NEC show, and we are blessed to be here with Will Stephen from SKB Cases. How are you, Will?
Doing great.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Tell me more about these cases. They look really, really great, like all these special buttons and whatnot. So
yeah,
tell me a bit about them.
Absolutely. We've been around for 42 years, but we started in the music industry. So we did the first plastic guitar case and the first plastic rack case. I would say in the last 15 years, we've been doing these hard injection molded cases that go up against some other strong competitors too. They're watertight cases, they're military spec cases. They have really easy to use latches, automatic pressure release valve, water gasket sealed for it as well. And then we've been working with Think Tank Photo for about the last 3 years, and they've been designing the interiors for us. So the nice thing with them is they do such a good job with the padded dividers and backpacks that we thought nobody better for it to design the interior than somebody like that. So let us specialize on what we do really well, which we feel is the exterior. Let them do what they do really well, which is an interior. Yeah. So we feel it's a really good marriage of brands, especially for the photo market.
Brilliant, brilliant. It's almost like a perfect marriage, really, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we hope so. But we have a lot of different options as far as interiors are concerned, a lot of size options. We have tripod cases, rack mount cases. So really a little solution for everything.
Excellent. Now, I'm a scuba diver.
Okay.
Mostly, I love scuba diving.
Yeah.
What have you got for me?
We have a lot of sizes for scuba gear. We sell to photographers that do a deep sea, where they're diving. They put some of their gear in there, water housing and all of that. So typically for divers, they'll get one of our cases empty, or if they're wiping down their gear consistently, they'll use one of the padded dividers as well. We also have options both back in the States and in Europe to do custom foam as well. So if you have, if you wanted something specifically cut out, then we can find an option for you that way too.
Awesome, awesome. Now you just said there that you are in America and Europe. So do you have a distributor in Europe, or like how are we supposed to get gear now if you want some for me?
Sure, absolutely. So they're made in California, all these cases are, but they come into Roussel in the Netherlands, and that's our main partner here. And from there they distribute to all the different countries. So we have distributors set up in all the countries. I couldn't tell you off the top who's in Ireland because I'm in the product management side of things. So yeah. As I go to more of these trade shows, I kind of learn who the people are and the players in the different countries. So yeah. I talk gear. Yeah. And so that's what I love doing. So
you're going to be my best friend. So
okay,
I love gear.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's not a problem at all, especially as a diver. You'll enjoy this because these cases, they will float in the water. You can throw them in and it's not a problem at all. We do, like I said, we do it for a lot of music cases too. So we've gotten stories from customers that they've had their house flooded by water, and they had their microphones in one of our cases, and the case just floated to the top. Yeah,
that's
and they've
brilliant.
Also been in house fires as well too, and other natural accidents that happen, and they can survive an awful lot. So
awesome. Well, thanks very much for your time. Really
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And welcome back, and we're here now still at the photography show, and we're now at the Zeiss lens stand, and it's quite amazing. And we've been very lucky, we've actually managed to get somebody here from Zeiss who knows all about these fantastic lenses. So, who have we got?
My name's Luke Tate, and I look after the UK business for Zeiss Consumer Optics.
Brilliant. And Luke, can you give us an overview of the Zeiss family of lenses?
Sure. The current lineup involves products that are made for different cameras in the marketplace. So we have Sony E mount, we have quite a big relationship with Sony, so we have some autofocus lenses, the Batis lenses, we have some manual focus lenses, the Loxia lenses. We also make a lot of lenses for Canon and Nikon mount, so we have 11 focal lengths of prime lenses for Canon and Nikon called the Milvus lenses. They go from a 15 millimeter wide angle all the way up to a 135. We then have the Otis lenses, which are the best lenses we can make. They're kind of us showing off. They're not cheap, they're not little, but they are insanely sharp, even at full aperture. They're quite impressive. They're for Canon and Nikon too. People do adapt them to the mirrorless systems via Metabones, or other makes of adapters are available, and that works quite successfully. So that's our photographic lenses. We also do cinematography lenses, which we're very big into. We have the compact prime lenses, the CP3s, of which there are 10 focal lengths available.
Brilliant.
We have the Supreme Primes, of which there are 7 at the moment, which are a bit higher up the food chain, and the cinema zoom lenses in the top right of the cabinet there as well.
Okay, and question for you, what makes Zeiss lenses stand above everybody else?
I think attention to detail. If you shoot our lenses full open, they perform extremely well. Very little chromatic aberration or colour fringing or any kind of fault.
Yes.
Also build quality. We're extremely pedantic when it comes to how we put the lenses together. Weather seals won't just be the blue one you can see there on that lens. They would be all the way through the lens.
Okay.
They are built like tanks. So they're designed to be the best optically that we can produce and the best physical quality and reliability that we can produce.
And something we hear quite a lot in people using different other manufacturers of lenses is that they can be sharp in the center but soft at the edges. How does Zeiss avoid that?
I think experience. We've been making camera lenses for 127 years.
Okay.
And the guys that we employ are scary clever.
Yes.
And we spend, from drawing board to production is about 3 years.
Wow.
We don't knock lenses out quickly.
Yes.
They test them again and again and again and again until, I mean, when I joined, I came from another manufacturer which did a lot of fisheye lenses.
Okay.
And all wet behind the ears, I said to the Germans, shall we make a fisheye lens? They said, don't be ridiculous, this would distort. They looked at me like I was a madman.
Yes.
They said, no. And that was it, conversation over.
Yes.
That, so that, it's that attitude which is uncompromising, I think, is a good way of saying it.
And I think it's knowing what works.
Yes.
And sticking with
experience.
That. And if you're good at something, continue doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the stand that you have here is really, really impressive.
Thank
and the
you.
Show is really, really big. What's your feedback been so far? How have you found the show so far?
Yesterday was very busy. We were consistently busy all day. Today, traditionally, is a little bit quieter. It's a bit of a family day out.
Yes.
We're expecting it to go crazy tomorrow. We get all the pros turn up tomorrow.
Yes.
But it's a great show. We love this show. It's hard work, but it's good to talk to your customers.
Yes.
When you sell to the trade all the time, it's nice to keep it real and speak to people who are actually using your products. Get their feedback. What should I make? What do they like or not like about what I currently make? So for me, it's invaluable, an event like this.
Brilliant.
And for myself there, just one quick thing. The demo model that they have here is so intricate, and the attention to detail is absolutely ridiculous. And I've never really seen the inside of a lens.
Well, that's
it's just
half
a
cinema lens.
Half
so a that's a
lens.
£3,500 lens. We pay a nutter in Munich a lot of money to chop in half for us. So it's not a model. It's a beautiful thing.
Wow. That is impressive.
Yeah, so brilliant, Luke. Thanks very much for sharing the history and the aspect of what makes Zeiss so good. I hope the show goes fantastic for you for the next coming days.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks. Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
Okay, so we've just came along to the Gitzo stand, and to say that it's impressive is second to none. It's absolutely fantastic. They have the tallest tripod I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how, it's at least 15 feet high, so, and who knows, it could go taller.
Probably, yes.
But look, I'm here with Roy Galit. Am I saying that right, Roy?
Yeah, Roy Galit, yeah.
Roy Galit, that's what I said, isn't it? I think that's what I said.
Yeah, pretty close.
But Roy is an ambassador for Gitzo, and he's a wildlife photographer, and he's got an absolute fantastic image of a polar bear with a lot of rim lighting. Roy, can you tell me a bit about yourself and your wildlife photography?
So I'm a wildlife photographer, I'm a Gitzo ambassador among other companies, and I've been doing wildlife photography for the last 16 years, including some films for the BBC, among other magazines and websites. won several awards. What else? I love polar bears, I love brown bears, I love bears in general.
Brilliant. What's the difference between a polar bear and a brown bear?
One's white, one's brown.
That's a good answer. But what got you into wildlife photography?
I love nature. I love photography. I mean, it seemed like the perfect way to combine the two of them. So that's why I started guiding photography. And when the images got good enough, I guess, I started getting commissions and assignments.
Brilliant. And the Gitzo products that you use, my friend here, Darren, a co-host, has a Gitzo tripod, and he absolutely loves it. What is it about the Gitzo tripods that you like?
Well, I've been using Gitzo tripods for the last 10 years. I've been loving them since the beginning. I mean, they're light, they're sturdy, they're strong, and they can carry a lot of weight. And as a wildlife photographer, that's what I need. I need something strong that can carry a lot of weight. So what I'm using is the Systematic series, which allows me to carry 25 kilograms of weight on
impressive.
Top of, yeah, it is impressive, on top of the tripod. And especially when I'm shooting in very harsh conditions. I mean, I'm shooting, the tripod is in water, in salt water, in ice water, on snow, between minus 40 and plus 40.
Wow.
And anywhere in between. So I had to have something that's good, that's reliable. And the way I shoot, because I'm a wildlife photographer, I have to get as low as possible. So I gotta have a tripod that I can open the legs 180 degrees,
yes.
Lay flat on the ground, and have an image that is stable enough for me to photograph in low shutter speeds, as well as shoot video, because I'm also doing video also for a film on the BBC called Snow Bears.
Brilliant.
So that's why I'm using the Gitzo tripod with a gimbal head for the video.
Excellent. So you're actually multi-talented. Not just women are multi-talented. There is a man here that can multitask also.
I try.
But come here, tell me, when did you become an ambassador for Gitzo?
About a year and a half ago, something like that, And again, it was like the perfect combination because I've been using the tripods for so long.
Yeah.
And when they asked me if I want to, I said, yeah, sure. I mean, it's like the perfect match.
Brilliant.
I became an ambassador before they knew I was an ambassador, but now it's official.
Yeah. And come here, last question now, and I'm not going to, because I know you're very busy. Do you shoot Canon or Nikon?
Nikon, of course.
Oh my God!
Let's get out of here fast. No.
I'm also testing. I'm a beta tester for the gear. I'm also an ambassador. I was working with them for a long time. I've been trying the 500 5.6 months before it came out. I posted a review and a DP review and Petapixel about it. So I'm happy to test new gear and see how it is in the real field condition.
Excellent stuff. And just lastly before we go, where can people find you and your work?
Well, just Google Roy Gallitz, or just Instagram, Roy Gallitz, R-O-I-E, Gallitz, G-A-L-I-T-Z, and watch my gear, my view.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Really appreciate coming on.
Thank you very much.
And welcome back. And now we're here at a fantastic stand, actually. It's Hainel. It's our sponsor of our podcast. And I'm delighted to be joined by Chris. Chris, how are you today?
I'm great. Welcome to our booth, Darren.
Thank you.
And Dermot.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Chris, how's the show been for you so far?
Well, we're on the second day. Yesterday was incredibly busy. And as you can see, today is similar. You know, it's been nonstop from 10 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the evening.
And tell me, what have people been most excited to see in regards to the Hainel family of products? Any new innovations?
Well, we've had a lot of positive feedback from people that have bought our motor system, and at the show here we're able to see them a second generation of our flagship product, which is the Motus 600. So that's the Motus 600 Mark II, and we're also showing people like the baby brother to the 600, which is the Motus 360. It's a smaller form factor, lower guide number, but still has all the same kind of credentials that our system has. By that I mean powered by lithium ion, you know, thereby giving you a recycle rate of 1.5 seconds.
Brilliant.
Wireless technology, and which really makes Motus a complete flash system for us.
Well, you know, looking at the unit here, it does look really, really nice, you know, and I think people that already have the system know the benefit of the Motus system itself. So now, a little brother, yeah? And I suppose in regards then to the other brands that you guys would have here, there's new products that are coming as well from Takina, is that right?
Yeah, there's new product launches from all our suppliers. Takina are launching a new Opera, The Opera 16-28 f2.8 full frame DSLR lens. We've samples of that new model here, and we're also launching some new gimbal models from our supplier company in China called Feotech, where we have an AK 4000 professional kit.
Yeah, Dermot actually uses the AK 4000. He loves it. He thinks that he's, you know, Peter MacKinnon now and stuff like that since he's got it.
Well, then about think I am the original and only Dermot O'Donovan, and I am the world leader in Feotech gimbal. So yeah, Chris, from my own personal point, the Feotech gimbal is absolute top and ahead of nearly everyone else. Like, I was in the market for a gimbal there a couple of months back, and he said to me, try out the Feotech gimbal, and I think it's absolutely a joy to use. I was like, but I need to get one of those pro kits though. I have just the normal gimbal, so maybe we'll buddy up in a while, will we?
Yeah, there's continuing investment going into the system, and it'll allow you to add bits and pieces to make your AK 4000 even more versatile, you know?
Like, I love the fact that you could now attach the Lytra light, which I have also, and you can have the external monitor on top. And for me, that's brilliant, because like for wedding videography, which I'm starting to do a bit more now, it's key for me to be able to look onto that external monitor, because let's call a spade, I've always said it, these LCDs on the back of the cameras, they're not very good. So having an external monitor is fantastic, and the fact that you can put it on top of the bar handle, it's brilliant. So I love it. Like,
I couldn't agree more. Connection points for additional accessories are paramount to the system. You know, absolutely.
Yeah, so Chris, we won't keep any more of your time. I think you're quite busy here, I understand. Thanks a million. Great to catch up with you as always, and I wish you the best of luck for the remainder of the show.
Great to see you both. Thanks.
All right, so guys, so we've actually, after making our way over to the Canon stand, and we have the lovely
David Parry
from Canon. So, Dave, thank you very much for taking your time out to have a quick talk with us. So, it's actually great to see what we have here in front of us. We actually have the Canon. Well, do you want, Dave? I'll let you tell them what we have.
Yeah, sure. So, in front of us here, we have what we're calling mock-ups of lenses that we've got coming later this year. So, all of these lenses here should be available by the end of this year. And this has been the first opportunity for anyone in Europe, basically, to see these lenses, because I've just got these over from Canon USA. And it's been a great opportunity at the photography show to let people have a look.
Brilliant. So you basically brought them over for me to play with, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I heard you were coming.
I knew it. Because we are royalty, you know. But come here, tell me some more about this new 70-200, the 2.8 that everyone is talking about.
Well, the really exciting thing about the 70-200 2.8 has got to be its size. It is so much smaller than the current EF 70-200mm. And really, what that's about? That's about the new lens mount that we have on the R and the RP. Gives you the ability to have bigger lenses basically closer to the body, which means that we can create lenses that are a lot shorter, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Now, I was looking at the 85 1.2, and it looks like you'll have to go to the gym to lift it, but not really, because I picked it up myself and I thought it was going to be heavier, but it's a really, really chunky lens.
Yeah, I mean, the weight will be similar to what it is. This isn't final weight, but it'll be very similar to this. But yes, I mean, it is a large lens. It's not overly heavy, I don't think. But the thing about it is that the image quality of this will be next level. It really will be. So we have our L series at the moment, which is amazing image quality. But the beauty of the new lens mount and the new lenses is that we are taking our image quality to the next generation, really. When you look at things like the 50mm we've got at the moment and the 28-70, the image quality on those are amazing, and it's really exciting to see what's coming in the future.
Cool. Now, that's not the only 85mm I hear. There's another one as well. What is it?
Yes, so we're going to do two versions of the 85mm 1.2. We're going to be doing a DS version.
What's that?
So that's defocus smoothing. Okay. And we don't know too much about that at the moment. They're keeping quite quiet on what that is. But basically, it means the construction of the lenses and coatings inside them is going to be slightly different. And what this will do, this will give you a different look and feel to the out-of-focus areas of your image, whether it's in front or behind your subject. A much smoother, a much nicer looking bokeh. So that's, I only seen a couple of images. They look amazing, so I'm super excited to see what that's going to be.
Okay, so would there be a difference in the price point between each lens, or do you know that yet?
honestly have no idea. We haven't been given any pricing or any release dates yet. All we've been told is that they should be with us by the end of this year, and that's all we got.
Okay, okay. Keeping your cards close to your chest. I like it. Now, Darren was just playing here with Canon EOS RP, and that's just been released on the market, and it's a really, really exciting camera because we got to meet with the Canon rep, Marek Biegelski. I got it right, didn't I, Darren?
Biegelski.
I got it right. Yeah. I'm patting my back there. Like, he's a fabulous photographer, and he's raving a rant about this. Can you tell me more about the RP?
Yeah, sure. So the RP was is the first, or the I suppose the entry into our RF or R cameras, our full frame mirrorless. And really, what this camera is about is about making it as easy or as simple as possible for people to step up into full frame. It handles very, very similar to other EOS we've got in our lineup. So if you're used to using like a 77D or an 80D or a 1300D for that matter, you'll find it very easy to step up into full frame. What else I really like about it is its weight. It is such a lightweight camera. It's about 580 grams, which once again is about the same weight as an 800D, which is a crop sensor camera. And that makes it really portable for travel photography and things like that. So that's a really exciting thing.
Like, you can literally just take off the lens and stick it in your pocket. Yeah. You actually really could. It's that small. Like, I love the feel of it and the balance of it. It's not too light. It just fits firmly, nice in your hand. But someone with bigger hands may have a small few issues. But you've developed something else to go with that to help alleviate that problem, have you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we try to make it as small and as lightweight as possible. But there are cases, if you hold on to it for a very long period of time, you've got big hands, you might find that you haven't got anywhere for your little finger to go, which could make it feel a little bit uncomfortable. So with that in mind, we've created a little grip that goes onto the bottom, which just extends it by about 2 centimeters or a centimeter and a bit, which means that your little finger, your little pinky, has got somewhere to go, and just makes it a little bit more comfortable, especially if you're using longer lenses with it. So that's a really nice addition. But I tell you what I do like about that is, even if you put that little grip on the bottom, you have a door that you can open, and you can still get at the battery and the memory card, which is pretty cool.
Brilliant. So I'm going to be cheeky and I'm going to say it straight out. What's the next camera for Canon, and when is it coming out?
You didn't tell me you could ask that question. Right, I can't answer those sorts of questions. Okay. You know, we can't talk about future developments. Basically, I mean, we are dedicated to this full-frame mirrorless lineup, as we are with the rest of our products, with our M series as well. So if people ask for these products, we will develop and build them. It's going to be really exciting over the next few years, because I think the whole industry is in this transition towards mirrorless. Mirrorless cameras aren't the be-all and end-all, which is why we still have the 5D Mark IV, the 1DX, and products like that. But it really is exciting to see what's going to happen in the future. But directly, I can't answer that question.
That's no problem. I said I'd be cheeky. Sorry, you can slap me in the hand if you want.
No,
now, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, no, minus one. We have 5 new lenses here in front of you. If you could only take one lens home right now, which one would it be and why?
Oh, that's a really hard one. Do you know the one I really, really like at the moment? The one that I really like is this one, which is the 24-240.
I
honestly
didn't expect that.
You didn't expect that, did you?
No.
Do you know why I love it so much? You put it on the front of an RP, and that is a lovely travel combination.
Okay.
If you want to go out shooting, if you do a lot of traveling, if you fly a lot and this kind of thing, this is the kind of camera lens that you want, because, you know, it's a 10x zoom there. Optical zoom.
You're right.
Inside something that is quite small and lightweight. It means you can work really fast. They're quite small and lightweight, so they're not too intimidating if you're photographing people as well. But this, I just think, is really interesting. This once again shows that this is not something we could do with the standard EF technology. And it shows what this new generation of products is capable of doing. So I know that's surprised you, isn't it? That's caught you out, hasn't it?
It's messed me flabbergasted.
Yeah,
really,
you were
here
expecting one of the L's.
I was expecting the 85 1.2 or something like that, you know. But Jesus, Dave, thank you very much for coming on and giving us a bit of your time. I really do appreciate it. And cheers, buddy.
Yeah, lovely. Love to meet you. And thank you very much.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design. So, welcome back, and now we're after arriving on the stand here, which is the Lee filter stand, and I'm joined by somebody who I believe is really, really knowledgeable on the Lee filters. Can you tell everybody who you are?
Hi, I'm Richard McKitty, sales manager at Lee Filters. Hopefully I'll be able to answer all your questions.
Brilliant, thanks for your time. So listen, well, first of all, very, very impressive stand. It really caught our attention when we were walking around. And both myself and Dermot are Lee filter users already, so we said we'd come along and see, you know, what's on offer, what's new and such like that. And I see a very nice piece of new equipment. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so we've released a new Lee 100 holder. So it's an update compared to our previous foundation kit. And because of that, the colour scheme of the stand has been all changed and rebranded and all that kind of stuff. But the main focus is the new Lee 100 holder, which is available now.
Okay, and tell me what's different about that than the previous version?
So it's a same composite material as a previous version. It's lighter weight, probably by about 16%. It has a lockable mechanism compared to the previous version. And it's a modular system. So we give you a small utility tool to be able to change the blades quicker. So we give you a 1 block, 2 block, and a 3 block configuration. Okay. So you can really change quicker in the field. And also the way the polarizer adapts to the new holder, it's a clip-on and clip-off polarizer.
Okay.
So it's a lot easier to use in the field.
I notice with my own, when I put the polarizer on, I have to screw it onto the front of the foundation kit. And it doesn't really, you can do it, but I don't normally do it. I don't leave it on all the time. I take it off. When I don't need it, I put it on. So now it's going to be easier with the new system itself, yeah?
That's correct. So if you have the existing 105 polarizers, so the landscape one or the thicker one, all you need to purchase is the new Lee 100 front ring. You can then screw your existing polarizer into that ring and actually leave the ring on the polarizer. In the packaging, we actually give you a new case so that will house your polarizer as well and keep it safe. So now, as you said, in the field, all you need to do is click on your polarizer, click it off, and just rotate your polarizer to get your desired effect.
Brilliant. And you know, from my point of view, as I said, I use Lee. And I really like the whole aspect of what Lee allows me to do for my photography. So where is Lee going now? I know that there's a big range of Lee filters available. So I've got the little stopper. I've got the big stopper. I don't have the super stopper. I have the landscape polarizer. I have the 0.9, the 0.6, the 0.3, both in hard grad and soft. So is there any more that I can get? Because I really have to get more.
Well, I mean, in terms of what we offer for landscape, we are reaching almost the saturation point of what we can offer. So we are looking at what we currently offer, maybe bringing back some of the older products that we used to do that are not available anymore. That's okay. Another option. But we've got a research and development team. So they are looking into new materials, new offerings, all kinds of stuff. So hopefully, very soon, we'll be able to bring out new products and new innovations.
Brilliant. You know, I'm actually, one filter that I've always thought of, I said, you know what, I must try one of those, is the reverse grad. Tell me a bit about that.
It's an ideal product. If you're doing sunsets and sunrises, it's the must-have filter for that. It will help you with your horizon, and it'll help control your sky exposure as well as your foreground exposure.
Brilliant. Yeah, so listen, thanks very much for your time. I think all of our listeners, a lot of them will already be using the Lee product as it is, so it's good that we're able to kind of bring back the news of the new foundation kit, and they can get that then in the retailers in Ireland, so the likes of Conn's, Paddy and Birmingham's, I believe, also would stock that. So yeah, Richard, thanks very much for your time.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yay. Hey,
he's the first one to say it.
I know.
You know what I mean? Well, that's a wrap. What a day, man. I really, really enjoyed everything. What about you, Dermot?
I'm fit to fall asleep. I'm actually really, really tired.
Well, you know what? I'm tired, but I'm still on adrenaline because the amount of people that we met today, the different stands that we saw, you know, the insights that we got, and great people as well to give us some really insightful interviews, wasn't it?
Yeah, like we got to meet Lee Filters, which were absolutely fantastic. We got to meet Chris Hale from Hale Industries, and we got to meet Keith. Do you know, there's so many high profile people there at the photographic show, and it was just, I loved every minute of it. And plus I got to meet Lara Jade, and I got my photograph taken of her, and Joe Cornish for you, man.
Yeah, it was good to see Joe Cornish now, and you know, it was at the end of the day as well. I think everybody was kind of tired, but in fairness to Joe, he took some time as well and had a good chat with us. Really, really nice man, you know. And even looking at the different stands that were there as well, and hopefully we gave a flavour of what the show itself was, but some of the stands were amazing. I mean, you know, when you walk in that entrance door, what was the first thing that you saw?
Canon!
Yes, right at the very, very end of the hall was Canon, but strategically placed when you walk in, you would see it. And as two of us, being, as people would know, being Canon fanboys, it was, okay, this is where we got to go. We got to go here first, you know. But even on the left-hand side then of that as well, you had the Nikon stand. And that, again, was itself quite impressive, you know. But even looking at the products that were there that we'd see online or on videos and able to get hands-on with them as well was quite incredible. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. And like, I know we slag about Nikon and Canon, whatever. It's like the difference between Nike and Adidas. Two of them are great manufacturers, but I'll never wear Adidas. I'll always wear Nike, and I'll probably never buy a Nikon. I'll always wear. I always use Canon. But you are right. Today was the, what was on display today was just out of this world. The workshops that were going on, there was classes going on there. Jason Lanier, I'm sure nearly every portrait photographer will know who he is. He did a masterclass on portrait lighting with rotolights. You had Joe Cornish giving talks, and then you've the lower tier kind of photographers doing workshops as well. I wouldn't even call them lower tiers, just a little less well known. Landscape photographers like Photo Speeds didn't they have some great landscape photographers doing some talks?
Yeah, they did, and you know, I kind of walked past them only briefly, and I kind of tuned in only briefly to a couple of them, but it was quite entertaining and quite interesting to get them firsthand talking about their work, you know, and what inspires them. And then obviously from their point of view too, you know, they're able to network. And I really enjoyed today because I met a lot of people who would listen to our podcast already as well. So it was great to be able to see them in person, have a chat with them, you know, have the laugh with them. And I met a few of the guys as well that would be fellow YouTube vloggers like myself, and I would have seen with them online, and they'd seen me online, and it was amazing because you'd meet them and it's like as if you already knew them, you know. So I really kind of enjoyed that aspect of it as well. So it was really good from my point of view, from a social aspect of it, looking at the technology, looking at the different manufacturers, looking at the stands. Yeah, I mean, as you said from the outset, I'm actually really, really tired now as well, but I really enjoyed the day, you know.
Yeah, can I get KFC? I'm hungry.
Okay, well, on that note, guys, thanks very much. I hope you enjoyed this special episode of the Irish Photography Podcast. We're going to go off and try and get Dermot some chicken. I don't know, yeah, if it's chicken or not, but we'll see what that is anyway. But yeah, until the next time, from me, it's Slánga Fóill.
Ayo.
If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, guys, keep shooting.